Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the Warmaster Podcast, episode 133.
Hello, listeners.
What's happening today, Paul?
The title is Warmaster Ancients Tournament 2020.
That's a little while ago now.
It was a little while ago, but after we've done this one, then we're like back on pace, I think, aren't we? Like, we'd have to talk about the event that's happened a while back.
No, but there's an event going to be pretty soon
I think. But we'll have plenty of time to record.
Well, hopefully, yeah. So it is 28th of Jan, which is a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 1:30.
Yes, it is.
So we've got 1:15 minus a delivery.
Mm-hmm.
So,
pre-recorded for this one?
Used it all up. So
you used it all, burned all our material.
So we've got to get the beginning and the end in, and then we'll try and worry about the middle.
Yeah.
Keep your Paul's World shortish, I guess.
You ask me, I'll tell you. But I will keep
That's it. Yeah. Paul's World, crack on.
Okay, so...
Mine's quick.
Yours quick. The cool thing is I went and played in a Underworld tournament
at
Warmerworld.
Ratmen?
With the Skaven up there. And I got to say, you have to say that venue is fantastic, isn't it, really? There isn't anything better.
I think we said it before.
Yeah.
If you're in the area or anywhere near the area and you've got an afternoon free, go there.
Go
play
there.
For free.
Exactly. You get in for free. I think that the miniature gallery is worth the money. Well, this was free because it was part of the ticket.
Oh, nice.
Was this
one of the ones where they gave you lunch and stuff as well? On each of the day?
Yes, but...
So this used to be £50, this ticket. Is it still similar?
No, it wasn't that... But Underworld doesn't take that long to play.
Right.
Off the first day, if you were in the top 16, you got to continue the second day, or you played a separate, like, what they called a skirmish.
Scrubs.
Right? Scrubs. Yeah, Scrubs tournament, basically. everybody else. What Warmerworld had done is, because obviously Underworld doesn't use scenery, it's a hybrid board game.
Yeah.
So it was just tables with black cloth and like X rows that you could have bought a ticket on the door on the day because they could just easily put another there was nothing to
provide.
Well,
you have to bring your own boards.
Yes,
stuff.
You do. Yeah.
So they don't need to provide anything.
They don't provide anything really. They don't need to. And I played a Scritch's Spite Swarm in the first day, and pretty much got beat pretty soundly. with Underworld, I could beat a new player pretty easily, but down the club it's it's really only new players,
right.
Relative to the so I could play them and beat them fine, but I'm off the pace compared to. The people who are good at this game.
Well, that's what you want in the game.
Yeah, and that's what I would have expected. But I really enjoyed it, and I have to say, as a thing, I think that Underworlds is a fantastic game system. Personally, it ticks all the boxes of something worth doing. And I was there with my friend Ben, and that was his idea to go, and that was fun. And we had a night out in Rock City on the middle night, and it was all good. I stayed in a travel lodge on the M1 for £20. Yeah.
On a Saturday night.
On a Friday night. Yeah.
It's convenient, isn't it? Staying on the M1 when you're going out drinking in the evening.
No. So this was the night before.
Okay.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is because...
Paul's painting, by the way. I've got to always keep you updated with what he's doing. So he looks like he's using some contrast paint on some...
On Cromarty Forge's miniatures.
Okay, fair dinkum.
Yeah. So there you go.
I mean, you can be quite haphazard with your painting. Even I'm enjoying this.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, it's like I went up because to save the least time away from the family, I went up there the night before after the kids were asleep, and it was a bit too far to go to get all the way to Nottingham for where we are. So it was cool. I just looked online, and you don't get much better than a travel lodge for £20, do you?
Well, that's for the entire room. You could have had five of you in there, or four.
You could have done. Yeah, totally. I mean, I'll remember that trick again. Yeah. That was good. I enjoyed it. But what would be of interest in general was that there's quite a few staffers there at the weekend and playing in the thing.
Right, yeah,
and they're
quite
willing to talk to you. It's not like, oh, I can't tell you that. It's, you know, like, behind, you know, like, it's too much secrecy. But what was interesting, what stood out to me was I talked to Jay Clark, the guy who's, like, chiefly behind Middle-Earth Strategy Battle Game. And I said to him, like, I couldn't get in the event. Like, the tickets sold out before I could get on. And, like, what did he have to say to that? Like, is in that, just out of it, make, as a conversation, he said, yeah, it sold out in 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and
nice.
He himself struggled to get a ticket because they have to, they don't get, like, guaranteed entrance if they want to play. They have to be, like, a punter like anybody else. Wow. So I was like, well, I said to him, well, what's your company going to do about that? As in, like, yeah, and they said, well, they're pushing for more events, you know, but it's, you know, so, because it sells, it's by far the most demand of any scene they have.
No.
Yep.
Lies.
True.
Lies.
True.
Lies.
True.
There's no way it's competing with 40K. It could quite easily be the second game now, which is amazing.
But no. For the event, what I'm saying, what I mean is, for the event they put on, right, it sells out.
Yeah, but there are no comparable events.
In
the UK.
Oh, okay. Right.
Whereas your 40K, they have like fucking 400 player events.
I suppose. All right.
Okay. So, yeah, this is like the big event of the year.
Yeah,
and like, but the other game system, 40K, is like, I'd probably say it's still 5 to 10 times bigger.
Okay, yeah, yes.
But I think Age of Sigmar could now be the third game, bizarrely, which is possibly why they're backtracking on the fantasy thing a little bit.
Well, who knows? The other thing was, is I talked to a staffer who was in the specialist games like group, and he revealed to me that the reason Adeptus Titanicus is 8mm and An Aeronautical Imperialis is 8mm is they want to do Epic again. They want to do Ground Forces. They want to do everything. And that was, you know, will they get to do it? They don't know, but their intention is there.
It's going to come through Forge World. It's going to be dog shit slow. But the fact it's changing scale isn't great for people.
I mean,
it isn't. You've got to be honest. You've got to. If you've got.
But I would say to that, that things in Epic were never really in scale anyway, are they? I mean, because, like, the point of a Titan is really how tall is it supposed to be.
It doesn't sound like a lot of the change between 6 and 8, but it is. If you've ever heard people discuss the difference between 12 and 10 millimetre horses in Warmaster, the scale difference is quite big.
Okay.
So imagine they did Warmaster again, but they did it at 15mm.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
So it's like, oh, I've got all these armies and they're worth bazillions of pounds, but they ain't, are they?
No.
If you change scale, you basically make everything else redundant.
Anyway, I'd be very interested to see if they do it for. I mean, at the moment, they've not done another race for Adeptus type for An Aeronautical Imperialis. You know, but they intend to. Basically, they got loads of plans. Like they intend to do all these things, and it's just, will they get round to doing them? I don't
mind them rebooting games at all and charging like they've done for Lord of the Rings for new rule books and match play books and generals compendiums and cards and dice and everything. Yeah. I hate scale changes. I hate them with a passion.
That's what you hate.
Yeah, well, you have to, because if you've ever bought into a game that the game has changed scale, or even worse, with like something like Monster Apocalypse,
you've
got to be joking me, man. So, they didn't change scale, they just changed the way the models are based, and the way the models are sold. And it's like, well, so literally everything I own for this game is now redundant. Everything, every single thing, every building, every map, every model, every dice, everything's now redundant.
We should have kept current.
That's a real kicking and nads.
Kicking and nads.
Then your people come in and say, oh, you play Monster Apocalypse, because why don't you get into this with me? Say, no, I'm not getting into it again. No, you must be nuts.
You're nuts, mate. You're bonkers.
So I'm nowhere near as happy as you are about the potential of returning games at different scales.
All right, okay, fair enough then. Bitter and twisted.
No, I don't even like the change of scale in Blood Bowl.
But it's Hexa, it doesn't matter.
Well, exactly, it doesn't matter. And it won't matter to me, but...
Yeah. But it's like a player fills a hex on a square in Blood Bowl.
Yeah, well, you could use a little token,
couldn't you? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to me, no. But, so the new scale...
It does.
The new scale, the elves look like roided up to hell, then.
Well, yeah.
Gigantic.
But they're like, you buy a team for 20 quid.
Yeah. That's right. I'm not arguing. I haven't played Blood Bowl in forever, so I'm not really worried about Blood Bowl.
Okay.
Right, come on, next.
Also, I've been playing in the club's Blood Bowl League, like with my Skaven. And that's been a good laugh. And because I like the all the crazy league rules and everything that like puts the zaniness back into Blood Bowl in my head. Yeah, and I've put together over there a Flames of War Italian army because Anthony wants some games of Flames of War, and I'm using an Italian tank company.
Brilliant.
Yes.
What could possibly go wrong?
Everything, because they're not good.
They look shit. They look really poor. But there's nothing in that list that makes me in any way enthused to play this army. See, if it was looking at it from the outside.
But that's how we're different. The everything in that list.
What, the biplane?
Yeah, the fact that I've got a biplane. The fact that I've got guys on motorbikes.
What's that going to do against like a Spitfire or something like proper?
Get shot down.
What is this going to do? Has he got a biplane?
Yeah.
There's a guy there with his goggles and his scarf on.
So he flies over the top of something and he drops a brick on it. Yeah. Oh, I know, dude. I'll enjoy using it.
And everything's defensive. But it's no punch, so good luck with that.
If I have to attack in a scenario, that's going to be really difficult.
It's got no mobility and no punch.
You think my tanks would be quick, but they're not. Awful. Little pea shooters. They're good at machine gunning troops. That's it.
Hooray!
Oh, we didn't take any troops. Oh.
What if you come against something like somebody's just loading using a load of panthers or tiger?
Play against Axis because that's because that's not how
so
you play.
So you're in a tournament.
That's not how you play.
That's not how you play Flames of War. Imagine you're playing in an event. You're not going to say, "Oh, this Italian." No, you can't play against that German player.
I don't know. I haven't looked into a Flames of War tournament because for a start, we're playing V3, and that would probably be V4, wouldn't it?
You'd be like, "Help me." If I'm really lucky, I can drop this bomb and get it through the open hatch on the top of the tank. And it might kill something.
It might do. They'll have to use ammunition on us.
They might run out of ammunition.
Might run out of ammunition. Why, that's a thing. Maybe not. But yeah.
Right, rubbish.
So, been putting that together. And you had to Star Wars.
Just Star Wars. And there's another thing on there because you haven't gone up to date one. So, Star Wars, that's the only game I've actively been playing. I've been painting some stuff, but I've been playing Star Wars. I'm enjoying it a lot. But the thing you've got to understand about Star Wars is a bit like Lord of the Rings. So, if you like Lord of the Rings and the fact that it is literally about the heroes, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're comparing Aragorn to a goblin, it ain't there, mate.
Yeah.
He could kill 1,000 of them. They wouldn't scratch him, would they?
No.
So if you're trying to think, I've got a bunch of B1 droids, and I've got to go kill Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan Kenobi's going to kill a lot of droids, and then if you're lucky and you get enough bullets shot at him, you might eventually take him down, because he's only got X amount of wounds.
Yeah.
So eventually you'll take him down.
Yeah.
But it'll kill out fucking...
A lot of you.
Yeah, a lot of you. It's the same thing. So if that stresses you out, and this is not like Hero Hammer, because this game is set up this way.
Yeah.
So it's set up, you've got a lot of, they're not all chaff, because some stuff's good, like Stormtroopers are good, clones are relatively good.
Yeah.
But the heroes are meant to be good.
Yeah.
So
Because it's Star Wars,
So Grievous, I played on Saturday. General Grievous. Fucking hell, he can do some damage, that boy.
Well, he's got 4 lightsabers.
So he went in hard, but he did get taken down because the guy who was playing Oliver put his whole army shooting at him for 2 complete turns. And that, over the course of 2 turns, took him down.
Eventually got him.
But he had to ignore the rest of my army and just, just pound
so
on
what,
him.
So hang on, you were using droids, and what did you use here?
What did I use?
What was your...
So Grievous, some B1s.
So what are B1s? Regular troopers?
No, the droids. The clankers, whatever.
All right, so the regular...
Shit ones.
Yeah, like with a funny voice. Yeah.
Roger. And then some droidicas, so the destroyers.
All right. Okay. So it must be quite a small points game.
500. They've got a skirmish level game, which is on a smaller board with special. Because they have like Lord of the Rings, they have cards where you decide what the scenario is going to be, what the deployment's going to be, and any special rules.
Yeah.
So they kind of mix it up.
Yep.
And that's quite a nice system. And then, a bit like Confrontation, they have an initiative-based card system. So you have a hand of 7 cards, and you play the game over 5 turns, and you have to use a card each turn, and a card indicates how you can play that turn.
Yeah.
but also has an initiative value. So the person with the smallest initiative value goes first.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
But you can only use the card once, and then it's discarded.
Yeah, fair enough.
So that's quite an interesting play to the game.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's quite a lot of interesting things going on.
There's lots going on there.
Yeah, yeah, and it's all relatively straightforward, like movement straightforward, range is straightforward, you don't need any rulers, they provide everything.
Yeah.
And then you've got the little funky... It's a good game.
And there's currently... There's droids, Empire, Rebels, and...
Clones.
Clones.
So the clones are ones with your Anakin
The pre-Empire, Mm-hmm.
And then the other two factions are obviously the Rebels and the Empire. They're much more fleshed out because they've been around for a couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So as a game, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice because you get to play in the universe you enjoy.
Yeah, right.
And things kind of work as you'd expect.
I would be intrigued to see, like, how they represent Darth Vader.
Oh, he's very good.
Well, he should be.
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to say. So people get heads up, you know, all these clones of shit. Darth Vader just ate six of them. Well, what would you want him to do?
Yeah. Clues?
He might take a couple of wounds on the way in, but like, a unit of clones is about 50 points, and he's like 250 points.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you want him to do? It would be crap if they could take him down, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, in the nature of the game system, isn't it? Like, these heroes matter. Yeah, exactly like Middle-earth. Yeah.
Yeah, if Aragorn got killed by a single goblin bow, you'd be like, this is bollocks.
This is bollocks, yeah.
I'll just take a load of goblin bows.
I would say that in Middle-earth, like, the characters are hard, but they are vulnerable at the same... Like, as in, Aragorn can die to... Repeated like bowfire.
Oh, Grievous did die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was my commander. Like, when he goes, your army really is in trouble.
Because I had the other thing I forgot to mention, but the chat to you just now reminded me, is I played a game also of Middle Earth against Eric, and he used that Imp list.
Oh, yes. Well, what points?
700.
Ah, shit, mate. Yeah, like, you hamstrung him deliberately, even though I've told you need to play 800.
Well, it used a quick beam, and that fills up the points.
All right, so you had a special. Two character ends.
Two character ends. And I used a Mordor list, which was, which used the Black Guard. That was quite cool.
The expensive Scooby Snacks.
The expensive Scooby Snacks. Yeah, like, who was a generic Ringwraith was on a Felbeast was the leader of my army. It was cool. I really enjoyed it. And it's like, but something that they're putting out, which I think is a really interesting release, is this match play guide. Have you seen?
So did you win? You haven't said.
No, the ants crushed me. I did well until I wasn't winning anymore.
But you can't have been doing scenario because they can't really do scenario.
Yeah, the scenario wasn't too bad a one for him, but my army was getting. Yeah, like, once my Ringwraith ran out of the will to keep him around, so he had to back off, it was like, I took down two ends, and wounded some. It was like, it was got,
it's almost the more expensive. That, the more expensive your basic trooper is, the worse it is.
But strength 4 is key to them, because if you've got strength 3, it's a 6 followed by a dice.
Yeah, 6
2
four.
Dice. If you're strength 4, it's 1 dice to
6.
Win. Yeah.
But you've got to win the fight first.
Yeah, you have to win the fight. But strength 4 is key. Yeah,
like, and if you don't win that fight, you can kill 3 models a turn. And if your models are 15 points each.
Isn't this drive through where he pushes you all back and he can move and then have another round of combat? That was quite
a power attack. Seen that.
Yeah, it's the Ent wins, and it's a barge, I think it's called.
Right.
Everything gets pushed back 3 inches.
Yeah.
Then the Ent can roll a dice, and that's how many inches they can move.
Right.
And if they get to contact something, they can fight another round of combat.
Well, what happened to the? They still roll against the stuff that we're fighting.
No, they don't. They can't kill what you've barged out of the way.
Oh, you just move.
But it's a way of pushing through a crowd to get to somebody important.
How? So if somebody puts like a single goblin on your giant elephant to slow it down, you can just barge out of the way.
As long as you win, you barge out of the way, and as long as you get. Like, not a 1 or a 2 or something like that. Yeah, you D6 it further forward. So say somebody was... It's quite good for, like, going up against... say somebody's got a flag who's behind the fighters.
Yeah, nice.
Win, barge, get to that flag.
Eat the flag.
Eat the flag, yeah, and then, like, yeah. It's like... Because you want to take down the less chance of you losing fights.
Nice.
Yeah, you should know that. You're going to play it, so you should know that.
Well, right? I do know it, though. Yeah. Barge stuff out of the way, because, they always try... They always try and surround you, but if you can barge your way through them...
Everything's got to go back 3 inches.
Nice.
And, So that was quite cool. And but I really like this match play book, the concept of that match play book they're putting out. So it adds another 6 scenarios. That means there's 18 scenarios in that game system. And check this out, Barry. It groups the scenarios.
I ain't buying it.
No, I'm just telling you. So because events would be use this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll group these 18 into 6 areas, 6
pots. Yeah.
And those pots are similar scenarios. So you don't play an event. You don't play 3 kill 'em all scenarios.
Right.
You might play one.
One from that pot, one from that pot.
Yeah, and that's a really... I really like that as a concept. It's like, that's really good.
Winter Rose, steal more from them.
I just think that's a really good idea. Like, because, and some of the new ones, like sound quite different. It's really interesting. Yeah, so I'm impressed by Middle-earth.
So, my next thing, I'm going to touch on this for a little bit, and then we're going to skip the section after this, which was The Witcher.
We ain't got time. Okay.
So we'll pick that up next time. Next podcast, you're going to be hearing about The Witcher with spoilers. Joan of Arc.
Right.
Because you've got something for me, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Joan of Arc sent out, without any asking anybody, they sent out an upgrade pack for stuff that was wrong in the first edition or something. So guess what's happened while I've not been watching? I got the bill through.
For Joan of Arc?
V1.5.
Yeah, okay.
Teutonic expansion or whatever.
Yeah.
Because obviously without even opening the first edition, I doubled down when they did 1.5. Because they were giving you a free upgrade pack, which is worth $35.
You're crazy. Go on.
Right, and then this Teutonic
expansion,
which is $80.
Yeah.
$35 shipping. It's like, fucking hell, where are you shipping this fucking from? It's only one bastard box.
Right, yeah.
And it doesn't weigh that much. $35
right.
Shipping.
Okay.
So before I paid the shipping, I thought, I'll go and have a look and see what people are saying online about, $35 shipping worldwide. Because basically, I think it's shipping from, was it Holland or something last time? I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah,
near to us.
Yeah.
And it's like worldwide shipping $35. I said, well, that probably works out all right if you live in fucking Timbuktu.
Yeah.
But that's quite a lot of shipping for DHL across the channel for like a 4-kilogram package.
Yep.
Anyway, so I looked on, and guess what's happened? There's been a fucking IP dispute. and all the fucking Kickstarter's been like effectively suspended and taken down. And in the background they're saying, don't panic, we've got good lawyers involved. And it's like, what? So it's like, I did some research around, and we'll talk about why the IP disputes happened,
right,
which is interesting in itself.
Yeah.
But it's like, should I pay I'm not going to pay this fucking money now until you prove to me that it's ready to ship, and then I'll pay the fucking shipping, then you can ship it. I'm not giving you another $35 on something that may not actually appear now.
Oh, okay. Right, okay, yeah.
Because they're asking for the shipping now, and it's not shipping till October or something.
You hope.
And the shipping is $35, is it? What, from fucking Holland for one 5-kilogram package to the UK? Come on, man.
Yeah, they got to pay legal bills.
You've got to pay, and they may be paying somebody to pack it and all that stuff as well. Right, fine. So what happened was, I think the guy that wrote the game, Pascal Bernard, his name was on a percentage as royalties.
Yes.
And he's looked and said, look, you've made X amount on that first Kickstarter, and now you're doing another Kickstarter based on my game, 1.5. So you've only just shipped last fucking October. You're already doing another one.
Yeah.
And why am I getting... My percentage isn't what it should be.
He wants more money.
No, so I'm supposed to get 5% of your turnover, less taxes. But your turnover is your turnover.
Right, yeah.
And then they're arguing that they're not going to pay him 5% because they want to take things out of the turnover. And so it's gone to court. Now, the upshot of this is, you had a product that was working well.
Yeah.
And now... Basically, both sides are probably in the wrong.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Yeah.
But what an adult in the room should say, look, it's going to cost you both a fucking shit ton of money to go and get lawyers involved in this.
Yeah.
Just both of you eat a little bit of what you expect.
Yeah. To kill
and find it in the middle.
And to kill this fledgling game system.
Like, because it happened with that fucking card game. It was a card game that Rid won the fucking UK Nationals
for. Oh, yeah. I forget what it's called now, but yeah.
Like Lord of War or
something
like that.
Yeah,
and it was a really good card game, and it was going from fucking strength to strength.
Yeah.
And there were like hundreds of people playing it.
Yeah, that's right.
And suddenly just dead.
Yeah, dead.
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 IP dispute. Because the guy who was actually fucking doing all the art, the thing that the thing was based on, the most important bit of the game, got fucked off with the end he was getting, the cut he was getting.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
And I remember it. And it's like, so it's like, oh, fuck. So now what do I do with this fella?
What do you do with him?
What do I do with the Joan of Arc? Do I pay my $35 and just, like, throw another $35 down the fucking well? Or do I now just say, just sit back and watch the IP dispute? These can take for fucking ever once they get in the courts.
Sell out, mate.
You can't sell out, can you? I can ask for a refund.
Go on.
For my 1.5, I could say I've put in $80. That's all I've put in so far. Yeah. And they were giving me some free stuff. I say, give me $80 back. But if enough people do that, it will be a self-fulfilling prophecy and they will pull the company down. Mythic Games. Because they've not got unlimited reserves, have they?
No, they're already stretched
because they're making... They're trying to reissue this game and they're trying to make expansions and it's all got to be made out of this money, the Kickstarter money. If there's not enough left in the pot...
You're crazy.
I can't believe I went back in on it.
But for a start, we were both idiots for both backing it because when we only need one...
I don't know if Janice knows about it. He doesn't listen, does he? But I might be giving you some news here, Janice.
It's like we were idiots for both backing it because we didn't need two copies of this thing.
Don't need one copy by the looks of things.
But that, and I sold out. I didn't lose anything on it. Yeah, like, but you are.
I'm not losing because I've still got the box game. It may be that that box game, if this second edition never makes print, is worth fortunes in the future.
Maybe. And maybe it's worth pennies.
Maybe it's worth buttons. And maybe I never get my $80 back.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's even possible, because this is another interesting thing, because there's a bit of under-bubbling with Cromarty Forge going around, which I actually saw some spill out onto... Unfortunately, onto Cromarty Forge's Kickstarter, people were talking about the fucking Dancing Yak Kickstarter in there, weren't they? It's like, so you can't kind of bring Dancing Yak into this one. John's going to... As soon as the Kickstarter's finished, you're probably going to get your stuff for this fella. Because Paul's paying it now, I can see with my eyes. So this stuff exists.
It's physically here in front of me, I'm paying it.
So it's like, I don't know how you get your money back from Kickstarter. And I don't even know if I should do it, because by me doing it, and other people doing it may end up causing the Kickstarter to collapse anyway.
I don't know.
Have you ever got your money back? Because you've tried.
This Darklands, yeah.
You did try.
Yeah, I did try, yeah.
Because you couldn't get it back.
Yeah, you're not getting money back.
You have to get it from them, not from Kickstarter.
Yeah, no, you're just not getting your money back. It's just like,
Forget about it. Well, you got your stuff in the end.
And sold it immediately.
Did you get your money back?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I didn't lose out. I don't sell it. When these disappointments come in, I don't try to make really any money on it. I just want to like, oh, that was no good. Never mind.
Yeah, but that was like a three-year process. You were like the squeaky wheel for 3 years. It's like, and you didn't get your money back, and you tried for 3 years, and I know you're as persistent as fucking Thrush.
You want to see how persistent I can be? So the there's a Kickstarter that was successfully funded for a Middle Earth High Elf army. Yeah, like alternative look to High
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, Rivendell look. And they got.
Why are you backing elves?
No, I didn't. Because the company's called Davnell Miniatures. It's a Spanish company.
Right, okay.
And they already sell like a whole bunch of alternative models. Most of them are ones that GW didn't do. So like a mounted version of Halbrand the Ranger, for example. Yeah. An option is he's on a horse.
Does he look like it?
Yes, he does. Yeah, like he's on a horse.
Right.
Yeah, like and that's cool because if you can put characters on horses, you really should. Yeah, it's worth the 10
I mean, that's a big change now. That can get on a horse.
You should put characters on horses. Yeah, like, I like the idea of, like, this guy's trying a Kickstarter, you know, like, is in for a new range. And I said to him, it's like, I'm not in rush for this. I don't want the thing you're Kickstarting, but I'll happily buy, what was it, two products from you, but I'll do that as the pledge fund, because you could, as the add-ons, you can add on anything from their shop. So it's like, can I do that? And it's like, well, and there's no rush for it, but can I get them before, because it's things you sell.
Sell now.
Can I get them before your Kickstarter is in people's hands? And it was like, yes. Right. So I backed the Kickstarter and put the, you know, and play, and I did it all as add-ons. Like, I just have add-ons for what I wanted. Right. So 3 months later, I'm still every Monday. I'm sending him an email saying,
"You're still doing it now?"
No, I've got them. Because the squeaky wheel gets in. Because I had every. It became a game. Like it was like, so it's back now. Can you send me this thing, please? And it's like, and then most not didn't get replies. But eventually, like, it took me 3 months of just every Monday, I'll send another email, I'll send another message saying, like, can I have this, please?
This is what I'm dealing with here. This is what I'm dealing with. The man has got persistence down to a T.
Yeah, I won't give up. I got the thing. And it's fine. Is it like, there wasn't a, like, you know, they're nice.
Because how much was the pledge?
Oh, like 50 euros.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah, it was mounted. What was it? Full mounted characters,
right?
Okay. Not characters, full mounted models. Right. Yeah, it was a bit much, I suppose. But there's something that yes, and you could convert these things, but these will look better than I could do converted.
Okay. Yeah. You got to know your limits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today. Soft foam, hard cases.
Right, so we're going to do the War Master Ancients.
Ancients.
We've got about half an hour.
Yep,
there's potential for delivery.
Yeah, cool. Barry will ask the questions and I will answer, like, the however it goes on. Mm.
So did you miss me?
I did miss you.
No, not you. Because I was sad.
Well,
but I'm feeling much better now.
Well, you didn't. You were never unwell.
I was unwell.
Yeah.
I was unwell.
All right. You say so.
So this is the bizarre thing about that kind of man flu, cold flu, yeah. Whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. So you start the day, and you're feeling a little bit under the weather,
yeah.
And then by 4 o'clock I'm asleep.
Right. Yeah, because that's your body wanting you to recover. Right.
So. I drove up north, mm-hmm. And I was feeling all right in the morning,
yep.
And 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm driving on the M6, mm-hmm. And I'm falling asleep at the wheel. And it was the same when I came back. And for the whole period, I couldn't last a whole day. I was like, I was just worn out by the afternoon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it is. Maybe because I've got an underactive thyroid, maybe my body's not good at dealing when it's under attack, or whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that weekend it was a case of I'm going to have to bunker down. I've got to get rid of this. And I did get rid of it. So it was.
Well, you weren't going to stay unwell forever, Barry, were you?
Mm-hmm. Well, not unless you get this new blonde Chinese flu.
Do you know what, Jen? Do you know what? I had someone. So coronavirus.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I don't know.
Corona, like you get put a lime in
exactly
the top.
The same word, yes.
Why
did someone call it that? So check this shit out. Somebody booked into my A&E, and the reason they're booking in,
right.
Why are you here? The reason they're booking in is because a Chinese person coughed over them.
Have they been to whatever the name of this place is in China? It's a big place, there's a billion plus people there.
It's a Chinese person.
Oh my God.
And they coughed over me.
Right, and what do you want me to do?
You've got
to
check me out.
What do you want me to do?
Well, first of all, isolate you, because I don't want to get what you've got.
Surely, if you do think, what you should be doing is quarantining yourself. Not that you should be quarantining yourself because somebody's coughed at you.
There's so much wrong with that as a statement, because it's not only incredibly racist, it's ignorant, it's just everything. This is the general public. This is what... Somebody has come and is bothering me at work, wanting...
But, like, thousands of people are dying now from regular flu.
Yeah, so 60,000 a year die from influenza.
In the UK?
Well, that's worldwide.
Oh, right, worldwide.
You know, like,
okay.
So far, 100 people have died of coronavirus. So, yeah, I did read an article where you've got to... the problem is it's the unknown.
Well, the problem is that it's the media.
Yeah.
So the fixation of the media on, like... You know, like the Millennium Bug, swine flu, avian flu, whatever the fuck it is. This one here now, did you hear the latest? This is scary shit.
What?
It's contagious before any symptoms.
Yes. Yeah, for
now you're in trouble,
maybe up to 10 days.
And it can be contagious within the 24 hours, potentially.
So, containing
you're dead before you know it.
Yeah,
don't leave the house. Leave the house.
Containing it is impossible.
And they're saying now that potentially for every one person that's infected...
Mm-hmm.
Two people are getting infected from that person.
Yeah, I can believe... Well, at least, you know, like, I can believe that. Yeah.
So we're talking about repatriating everybody from China.
That's a bad idea.
It is a bad idea, unless you've got to quarantine them. Because surely they're better quarantined where they are.
The thing is if it's if that's all true, and I can believe it to be the case, the lethality of the disease is its own. If it was, say, if everyone it cat, if 90% of people who get this condition die,
which you won't be anything like that.
I'm just saying, like, and they die in 2 days, so it's like Hollywood movie style disease. Well, it quarantines itself because everyone, like
that. Well, village, as long as you keep quarantine.
Yeah, as in, like, that village is wiped out. You know, like, as in, there's nobody getting out of there because they're all too sick to move. This thing is saying that you can be unwell, so you don't have any symptoms for maybe up to 10 days, and you wouldn't know you're unwell. But going hand in hand with that is its lethality is much, unless China is doing a massively good keeping it under wraps, it's not very lethal. Like,
because this is like a pneumonia.
It could be.
This is a pneumonia, yeah? So
cause of respiratory conditions, yes.
So effectively, it's going to be like people who are unwell, people who are old, people who are very young. The kind
like a young, fit, healthy person is unlikely to be, suffer from it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, so why the fuck are we talking about that again?
Well, you got onto it.
Yeah, like, what did I talk? Oh, for man flu, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it wasn't that, listeners. So, you played in a War Master Ages tournament, and you took the thing that nobody wanted to take, which was Romans.
Imperial Roman, yeah.
And did you took the Onger?
Yes, I did. I took
the Scorpions.
Yeah, totally. And they did work. They were
good. The Onger?
Yeah, they did. But it's the only list in the so we're as far as I know that had any artillery in it. You know, so the you could choose armies from the War Master Ancients or War Master Ancient Armies.
Yeah.
Books. And so I took
scenarios because Janus
no,
was running
no, there was just turn up, just play each other in the time frame allowed.
No clock.
There was a round clock, and there was a hard timing to that. So, like, when that was called, you had to finish. You had to be on equal turns.
Okay, so this is the old school set, and this is what's going to be happening in Bruno. Basically, if you don't crack on, the game will end up as a draw.
The game can't go on forever.
Yeah, so you crack on, or it's a draw, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what was your first round?
So I played...
And what was your list? We talked about your list, I think, before, but it was...
We have, yeah. I mean...
How many Legion did you have? Four, five?
Hang on. Did I
already
throw that away?
He's moved on to... you're highlighting now.
No, I'm working on these...
But you've stopped using your contrast paint now.
Yeah, because that takes 20 minutes to dry.
Right.
There you go.
So we had two veteran legion, four legion, two archers, two skirmishers, one heavy cavalry.
Well,
brave.
You call them heavy cavalry, they're not really
brave.
Heavy cavalry. Oh, no, that was an upgrade I got during the day.
So they're 3-3-5.
Yeah, but they're based long ways. Yeah,
two light cavalry who are based long
skirmishers,
ways.
Skirmishers.
Yeah, basically skirmishers on cavalry. Mm. One scorpion, one onger, one general, two legate.
Legate.
Brave seven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you don't count the foot skirmishers because they've got no save.
And they don't count?
Well, if it's skirmisher and they've got no save, they don't count.
I like how we don't count.
They do because they have a 6-up save.
Is that, what's that rule?
It's in the armed core rules.
Oh, I didn't realise they're... that makes a bit of a difference because you can't use them as disposably.
No, you can't because they will count against you. My first...
Are we playing at 1250?
Yes,
which is
with the 1,000-point restriction on 1250. And I played into the Rus.
Who, on paper, scare the willies out of me.
Yeah.
Because they're just hard as nails.
So the Rus are the ancient Russian people, essentially. Yeah, not something I knew in history much before playing Ancients.
And then playing Ancients, you look at them and go, my God, these are hard as nails.
They have incredibly limited cavalry. I think they can have two units of cavalry maximum. That's it. The rest of it is all infantry who have both shield wall and warband going for them. You know, and it's just basically the core infantry is a bit lighter. Their better infantry is 5-up armour saved with shield wall. That means they go to 4-up armour if they're charged. You know, and they've got warband as well. So when they win, they start rolling you. And there's a lot of it. But their command is terrible.
The command is like beyond atrocious.
Yeah.
It makes orcs look good.
Yeah, it does. It really does. So
which is nuts.
So they have a command 8 general and command 7 chieftains, that means they've got command range 20. That's it.
And they've got command 6, haven't they?
No, I don't think they have 6.
I think they've got some 6 shit.
But you're going to be needing 6s to remove your stuff because you're infantry and you are going to be close to the enemy.
And if stuff gets round the back of you, it's like, forget about it.
So in this game, like, I looked at his army and I was like, my God, that is massive. You know, like, it's going to...
Oh, the delivery's here.
Oh, okay. It's going to take me a while to cut my way through all of this. So I've got the range of any engagement I'm going to play into because I have the artillery.
Does he got skirmishes?
Actually, he didn't take any skirmishes. This game went like, I was a proper Caesar about this one. Yeah, like I felt. We'll just pause it there.
False alarm. It was Paul Beer delivery, no less.
Yeah, cool. So his army was huge. Now, I saw that he only had one unit of cavalry, and I also read his army list. I was like, well, he could only ever take two. He'd taken one unit, you know. And I was like, right, okay. So I need to. There's no turn limits. I can play short turns. I can like just fire my little artillery pieces. Maybe
take something because there's no skirmishes.
Yeah, there's no skirmishes, and you line it all up, I should take a stand. And because all three they're all men, so they've only got 3 hits everywhere.
But they're all beam weapons.
Yeah, but you can angle them so they'll target the same unit, that's fine. Right. You know, and then I can use my skirmishes to again slow him down. And I'm going to use my cavalry, my skirmisher cavalry, to get around both flanks. And if I get them behind him, he'll cause him massive command.
Oh, you're never ordering anything.
And that's exactly what I did. You know, and that's exactly how the game went down.
Rommel.
So,
you see, I think as good as that tactic is,
yeah.
It's a little bit, you know, a little bit easy to see. Not that you can do anything about it, because a couple of orders, you get your cavalry round the back. What are you going to do? Order on a 4? Order on a 4? Or then go in on a 3?
Yeah, and then I'll skirmish your cavalry, so I'll run. Yeah,
Or I'll use my artillery. Or my shooting. Or I've got nothing, fella.
Yeah, it's like, he's got, like, yeah, there's limits. So I managed this horde of barbarians quite well, I thought, you know, but the game ended with so once I'd worn him down enough, I was like, right, time to commit the legions. And I did this thing where I can't now, given he's war bands, I can't lose the first round of combat. If he charges me or I charge him, I need to win that first round of combat, because then he becomes easy meat, and if I lose it, I'll get knackered,
right.
I put 3 legions, so veteran legion in the second rank, with other legions behind, skirmishes in the front across them,
mm-hmm.
And so he came in to charge me. My skirmishes ran through my troops. They can run through one unit of troops for no penalty, like no problems.
Right.
But other units of troops, they might cause confusion. What did I get? 2 6s.
Nice.
You know, like, and the only one that mattered was the ones who were supporting my front legion got confused. So,
nice.
So what that meant was that I didn't have legion support and regular support. I only had legion support, you know, for the first round of combat. And I lost that combat. And then a lot of combat ensures, and I do a lot of, like, I stab a lot of barbarians up as well, but I lose my Romans. In that it gets protracted out because,
right.
And now if they had fled through the supporting troops and not caused them to confuse, which only happened once, 1 on 6,
yeah.
Then I would have won that first round of combat and I'd have dictated it.
And then warband going backwards are bad.
Yeah, they just get all the negatives basically. They become easy prey, you know, and I would have been able to do a lot of damage. But that didn't happen. You know, like, yeah, and I would. In the same situation, I would try that same tactic again. It's not me. Yeah, you no. Get lucky with it, or you get you get unlucky with it. So the game continues. But sadly, because his army's so big, and it's hard for him to engage because I am slowing him down.
Well, you don't want to engage, do you? Yeah,
exactly. Saying it's hard for him.
You've got artillery.
Yeah, yeah. The game ran out of time. We ended it as a draw. But I probably would have. I probably was on the sentence. I finished with more VPs and. I guess the game overall momentum was going with me, but it finished, it was a draw. Yeah. There you go.
Draw's not bad.
Didn't lose. Yeah, like, so my second game was against Caroline Franks. So these are the guys that were in Normandy before, so Charlemagne is like era. So they're in feudal France, which is separate countries,
right, right.
Before before the Normans invade in 1066. So it's like a couple of hundred years before that.
Right.
Like, so about 800 something.
In the Dark Ages, where nobody.
Well after the Romans. But it's like that, that army has a lot of, well, heavy cavalry, five up armour cavalry that is shock. So that is short based cavalry. You know, and so it looks very much like a Bretonian army, really. You know, but there's obviously no artillery pieces. He's just got a lot of mounted men. And you know, some foot knights as well, and some foot retainers and things.
It must be tiny army.
It was small, yeah. But I'm a small army as well. You know, like, and in this one again, my artillery started doing work, and it was like, but with this one,
artillery behind skirmishers sounds like a good plan.
For this one, I struggled with my commands. You know, I really know, like in every game of Ancient that you play, you really notice the non half base move if you failed the first order. Some turns, both of us failed all orders, like, and just didn't move anything. You know, and I had some units that never got out of their deployment zone. Yeah, like, as in, like just can't move. They can't pass. I was surprised with this one because he had a lot more cavalry than me, and I put, but I don't remember any skirmishing cavalry. It was all these mounted knights, and I put my skirmishers, one unit, into the flank of a brigade of four mounted knights, and he played it well. He managed to capture, because you know, you can't move X close, like, you know, to units and scenery.
So
yeah.
Just a second running out of battery in the single podcast recording.
So this unit of skirmish cavalry got round the flank of all his shock cavalry, and he did a cool thing. He manoeuvred them to capture them in two turns,
right?
Which was clever. I was like, that is well played. That is, you know, like, this guy has played this game before. But he still, even just doing that, like, obviously got the effect I wanted, and that was this cavalry not to come at me for a while.
Yeah, to give you some time.
Like, so he did capture. I managed to attrition down his units, like wear them out, and like spread them, you know, as in split them up with fire, and my Romans on the attack with this one worked. Like, they managed to put, you know, on the charge, they were like beating these cavalry units and doing damage. I was rolling well for them. There was his infantry had occupied a wood. One of my less set up of three legions and skirmishers went into that wood and just butchered everybody in there. They were just like slaying. Oh. Yeah, it's like, it was like
beginning of Gladiator.
It's like, it's like this rising and falling.
With the dogs,
gladiators,
and the flame arrows.
And it's like, everything died. And like, and I came out pretty much intact on that. So I won that game. You know, like, won it quite well. I was surprised because I thought his cavalry would roll me, but it never really.
Well, this is the thing we've always been talking about, the 3-3-5 cavalry, and what's it for?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I generally, like, with that game, I thought, oh, he is going to come at me, but he did fail a lot of orders, and and Ancients punishes you for that quite hard.
Well, they punishes you to try and make orders. Because you don't want to split your line, do you? You don't want to get one order off, get some of your stuff upfield, and
can't
then fail the rest.
Flanks, you can't. Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. So
1-1?
1-1. And
no losses?
No losses, ain't been beaten. And my last game was against...
Didn't you play Jim and the Russ? Or did...
No, Jim was the other Russ player. I didn't play him.
Right.
Yeah, like, the Russ versus Russ.
Russ. What was Janus playing? Because Jim's got Russ.
Janus was, who was he using? I forget now, but he won the whole event. But I can't remember. It's not an army I'd heard of before. Mongols or something? No, you couldn't.
Mongols or
no,
horse,
it wasn't Mongols. It was. I did not recognise it.
I'll have to look it up while you carry on. Result.
So my third game was against... Oh, I was Imperial Roman, and I played against Republican Roman. Is that right? Yeah, like, am I Republican Roman? Yeah, I'm Imperial Roman.
I'm
the one with the artillery. And I played against Republican Roman, which was Romans, earlier Romans than my Romans. Luckily... This was on a desert table with sphinxes and pyramids and everything, and looked lovely anyway. And my opponent, Paul, who's like in the Warmaster scene, he'd painted his Romans to be based desert finish.
Nice.
And it, honestly, they matched that. Maybe it was his table, but they matched it perfectly. And the game just looked so pretty, basically. It was just like, it just, you know, these lines of like Romans in red, like going against each other. And this one showed off the different Romans rules and against each other. So my Romans pay more points to have the Legion rule, which means they're first round of the
rules. It's a good rule.
It's a great rule.
It's a good rule.
You know, his Romans had Tritari, which basically meant when they were supported, there was a chance they might shrug some wounds.
But it's like a roll of six and ignore a wound. Yeah, I didn't like that rule as much.
They're much less. But they are less points.
Yeah, they're definitely less points.
So, and it really, it showed like the difference, because he'd put a brigade of four legions into attacked three of my legions on the my right flank, and roughly the same points. Our rules against each other. Yeah. I came out on top.
Your rule looked way better. And just from the outside looking at it, it's like...
Yeah, I put his four units to the sword and managed to keep three of all of mine. Damaged, yes, but mine were alive.
That's bad news bears for
him. Bad news bears. It was bad news bears for him. And again, my artillery was telling. He didn't have... None of the armies had anything that could get at my artillery.
Well, they're meant to use skirmishers to stop the artillery getting at what you wanted to get at.
And
I don't care if you shoot skirmishers.
I only ever took a stand off a thing at a time.
That's a lot.
But it does count. You just start affecting more orders, and it's just like, yeah, I can just keep doing this. I'm not going to run out of ammunition. I can just keep doing it, shooting every time. So I won that game as well, and I won that game in the quickest amount of time. Yeah, because Romans of whatever flavour are not big armies, and I had his number with that, which was cool.
Cool.
I ended up having a draw in two wins.
That's a lot.
That was a lot better than I thought I was going to do.
That's a lot better than I thought. Either you or I were going to do.
And so I finished off the day coming overall second.
I'm still looking for... You'd think it would be quite easy to find, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I know Jan has won, and I know you came second.
And Jim came third.
And Jim came third with Russ.
I do not remember at all what Jan's army was. It was just something I just didn't recognise. Like, as in, I'd not... What even is that?
I think it's been quite hard to come across.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of lists in there. Maybe it's not even... And you could use some lists from a website.
Oh, here we go. Oh, fuck, it doesn't even say. It is Leon at Pendraken, so I was right with that. Yeah, hey. It doesn't say. Why does it not say? It must be in this post. Fuck, it doesn't say.
No.
Even in the Facebook post.
Yeah, didn't get to play him.
Just says, Leon of Pendraken put some... he gave you some vouchers, didn't he? Have you spent that already?
Yeah, straight away. I got some more Romans.
Double down on the Romans.
No, I got another unit of cavalry and some Roman archers I need. So there you go.
Oh, hang on, but... Oh, he doesn't say. Because Matthew Street's doing some pictures, isn't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't say what the pictures are going to be. Obviously, yours is Roman.
Yeah.
The Rus one's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And Janus.
Oh, I've got it, it's here. What? And the van's here as well. What fucking hell? It's Bulgars.
Bulgars. I don't know what
Bulgars. 10 points, 1285 on the VPs. Paul, Republican Roman, 8 points, 1015 on the VPs. Jim Beats, Russ, 5 points, 1285 on the VPs. Mm-hmm. And, is that yours? Did they turn around?
Yeah,
so I think 100. Yeah, so good, I find out. Well done, me. And then we had Matthew Arnold, Russ, in 4th. David Lask, Carolinian Franks or something.
Matthew Street, that's what I played, yeah.
Gauls, Paul Hayes, Republican Roman.
Yeah.
Chris Orr, Carthaginian.
So there was two Rus players, and there was two types of Roman player. Like,
no, there were two Republican.
I'm Imperial. No, you got it wrong.
You're Imperial.
I'm Imperial, yeah.
Okay, and best painter was Gauls, which is Matthew Street, isn't it? Yeah, he's fucking nuts.
They look lovely.
He's nuts. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, fair play to him. I just wish... No, I don't wish I could paint that well. Because the guy who plays Star Wars, he can paint well, but he fucking never paints anything. He's always belly aching about it. He doesn't want to, because he never wants to do anything badly.
Yeah.
So he never paints anything. Whereas it's better to be kind of like you. not that you can paint badly, but you just fucking bosh it out.
Well, yeah.
What's the point in sitting there stressing about 30 hours on a model? Get the models done. Get them on the table. Play with them.
Get them on, play them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I just don't want to pay them. Just get them painted.
You're talking about Ollie, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. But this fella here, he paints.
Yeah.
I mean, he paints. You see stuff. He's
one of the players, and as a prize support, he's doing a bespoke bit of art of your army. Like, to each first, second,
I've
third.
I've seen your Roman
start. Yeah, he started off with obviously the best Romans. You know, like...
I want to see the Russ.
Yeah.
And the Bulgars.
It's cool. I mean, like...
It's here. Yeah. What's this? This doesn't even look like furniture either.
Oh, right. I'll just go...
We're nearly finished. Well, he didn't even leave the room, so I shouldn't have stopped that. The fella's just... You got another delivery then.
Today.
What is this?
just happens. I mean, okay, let's talk about the event. I really enjoyed it, and it's a shame there isn't more ancient events around. But you do.
Is it better or worse?
Oh, we've already said this. Like,
well, I haven't played. I've only played one game against you.
Oh, okay. No, it's not better.
You've played six games.
Yes.
You played a couple of games in Saffron.
It's not better. It's different. But you do, like... once you've got it rolling, you can play games in a decent amount of time. But, like, again, my game against the Rust player, it'd be really difficult to get that finished in the time frame allowed. Because... his army was really big, and my army didn't want to.
So why do we play at such small points?
But that doesn't mean the armies are small.
No, that's what I'm aware. Mm-hmm. So when I look at the outside, and when I look at, I want 2,000 points.
Yeah, but that's a
hang-up. Some of the armies, it's impossible.
Yeah, but that's a hang-up from playing Warmaster Revolution.
But it's based on that, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I know, but it's not the... Yeah, it's like... really the upper cap.
Your halberdiers are still like 45 points in this.
There's
it's just the quality of the suits
on garbage. There's so many lists that if there was going to... Basically, if there was going to be another Ancients event in a year, like, as in term, there will be one skip forward a year from now, right. But if there was another one in the calendar, I would do one of these interesting... There's so many lists that sound fun to try.
What's one to do Medieval?
Well, yeah, I said that out. I said that out loud. It's like, would there be a scope for Medieval?
But it's everybody's just going to be Bretonian.
Well, that's
the thing. What they've got.
Yeah, of course. And it's like, that is a separate beast in itself.
Well, Samurai is a nip on it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There is, yeah. So, just any army of antiquity is represented. So Alexander the Great and his Greeks would be cool. Like, lots of like white painted Greek troops. You know, like, and Alexander and his companion cavalry just riding around the desert going, yeah, we're great. certainly my last game, because the Roman on Roman in a desert looks fantastic. You compare this to, like, other game systems going on around you, and nothing looks as pretty as this, like, for it. It just doesn't.
But that mm-hmm. is basically, you're just saying that 10 mil Ancients is pretty good looking.
Yes.
So it wouldn't necessarily have to be Warmaster, would it? Because when we were walking around the World Championship, there were a lot of this kind of scale and 15 mil scale that looks very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, 15 mil... big battle, Ancient stuff looks good.
Looks good.
Because 50 mil on 10 mil, I think maybe 50 mil even looks a little bit better sometimes from a distance. Because 10 mil is quite hard to see.
It depends how many man-sized guys you're going to get. Because Flames of War is 15 mil, and that's your scale of a man, isn't it? You know, so it depends. Is it in terms of the
on
height
on the base?
On the base, like, is in the height of a 10 mil guy compared to a 15 mil guy? Yeah.
I mean, this is around the right scale, 10, 15 mil, I think, for that kind of game.
I mean, like,
because
two of the armies were using 6 mil models.
I find them a bit difficult.
No, I'm just saying, they were using them, and, you know, nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with it.
It looks like, more epic.
It's like, I was just going to say, like, epic. I don't really get on with the epic infantry. I think that's where the 8 mil probably would be all right.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Because they really are very, 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 very small.
Yeah,
and it's really hard to see what the fuck they are on the table.
There is. And modern GW could do 8 mil space marines would look quite would look good. Like, they could make them posed well and everything. There wouldn't be one post models, you know, like they were.
So if you look, I don't know how much Epic you've played, but if when they're on the table, not that it makes a giant amount of difference, which is probably why it doesn't matter that much. It's like, if you've got a squad, a marine squad that's Devastators, or a marine squad that's tactical, or you can't be hard to say.
You're right. It's like one guy's holding a heavy weapon, that makes him the Devastators.
Yeah. No, two guys.
Or whatever it is.
Two guys make a Devastator, one guy makes his tactical squad. It's like, you can't see this shit on the table, mate.
You're right.
They're 6mm.
Yeah, you're right.
And you're playing them a 6x4.
I would say, for infantry, you're right, 6mm is a bit too small, isn't it? Like in these 6mm armies for ancients, they look fine, but there's no individual
details. Isn't it all just base?
Yeah, basically. It's all base.
And a couple of strips.
Yeah, when you look at it at a glance, it does look just like a base.
Maybe, to each your own. I'm happy if you want to use tokens, mate. I saw
a guy post on a video, a YouTube, where all the War Master and all the units were just little squares, like on bases. Like, were just blocks. Like, it would look like a map, a military map.
Right.
Like, it's in, like, the models are represented just two, like, lines of squares. Yeah.
We've used bases with just stuff written on
them. Yeah, exactly.
We have. Whatever. So it's still the game, isn't it?
It's still the game.
At the end, just play the game is the answer.
Yeah, Ancients is, you see these battle lines, like, on the table, and you're just like, right, here's my battle. Like when my first game, when the Rust player had tried to deny the skirmishers getting round him, and he was just like swinging his line back and stuff to try and stop them getting round and things.
The flank, yeah.
It does in that sense. It's like it does give you the idea of the camera looking down.
See, I don't think you can play I don't know how he played, but I don't think you can play one single line when you're playing something like Russ, because your orders are so hard. You can't stop being flanked. If there's any flank to give, it will get given. So you have to have almost like stuff behind the front rank on the flanks to protect the flank. You get past the front rank, stuff behind.
Like castle formation. So forward, back to the side, and then back again. If you
facing a different way. You just can't get flanks away.
Assume you will get beat there, Maybe,
I think it might be quite tactical as a game once you get into it.
It's certainly like, because there isn't no...
There's no half free, half pace move. If you get flanked, it's going
to
sting.
Like, I mean, at times you can say, oh, look, I need to pass this order or like to do something, but I failed it. I couldn't have made the order any easier. It was still failed. Things like, as in. Yeah.
But I like that gambit.
Yeah,
I like the fact that sometimes. When you don't have the half pace move, sometimes. You have to use your general where you wouldn't want to use him because you have to get that order off, even though.
Yeah. Right. Okay. It can cost
you a turn.
I don't know how ancients would work with scenarios, because sometimes
you can't move.
You're like, I've lost that scenario because I just couldn't move my army.
Somebody got round the back of me, and we never moved.
Yeah. It's like, so I don't know how
it's pitch battle. It's set off a pitch battle, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. I just don't see.
And maybe that's why I didn't underestimate the cavalry. Artillery, because maybe if pitch battle and you are going to be defending.
I mean, it's not like it's a lot of artillery. It's like, it's just the fact that I have something.
Hey, but if we went to 2,000 points, it would.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously then you'd double up and you would. But there's no flyers coming to get you. There's like
no magic, no get off.
Speaking, I think we might have said that on the last podcast actually. I think because when we had this time round, the social was the lunch, not the dinner afterwards. So we all went to lunch together in the pub just down the road. And that was cool. And there was like some interesting chat going on about game systems and people like critiquing War Master in general. And it's like, but always with the critiques, it's like, well, what's your solution? And it's like, it's fine to say, oh, I wish this was better. I think that's overpowered. Well, what is your solution?
Is this what you're going to talk about flyers being over?
But the command nine, the tri-wiz where everybody gets a command nine general, that would be quite interesting. Because that is a theory that is like, command ten's too good. What about if everyone gets a command nine general for free, levels it? That's, well, there you go, it's going to happen in an event.
man. You seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could bother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
So I'm just going to talk a little bit about Bruno and Blackgate.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about the main topic, all out of order. That's what we like to see. You'll see it in the right order, but we're doing it out of order here. So Paul in his hands has a set of the books.
Yes.
This is a big thing.
Yeah.
So you've got...
We have bound copies of the War Master Revolution Compendium, the most latest version that is around, which is 1.1.
The one I got from Alice, yeah.
And we also have a bound copy of War Master Revolution Armies, version 1.1.
Yeah, with the light cavalry rules in there.
Yes, right. Probably.
Probably.
Yes, it does.
Yes, God damn it. So, obviously, there's a little bit of gnashing of and wailing on the old War Master Facebook page
about the fact.
There's nothing to stop anybody in the world
just doing this.
Yeah, just getting them published themselves. Yeah. Not published, that's the wrong word, but getting them printed themselves and shipping them to themselves. Mm-hmm. The big problem is that we've done this before.
Yeah.
A long, long time ago, our first event, we did this exact thing, mm-hmm. and we gave them out to people.
Yeah.
You can't sell them.
No.
So even by... And the postage is a pain in the arse, because they're books at the end of the day. They're big, they weigh a little bit, so you're not putting it in an envelope. It's not like a 26p stamp or a 50...
No.
It's like... Yeah, so the best way to do it is if you're running an event, a tournament somewhere, print up some books, ship them to the tournament, and then give them out at the tournament for free.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we're doing.
75 pages is in the Armies book, and for the Revolution Compendium, there is quite a bit more, isn't there? There's goes down to page... Ooh, I don't know. Oh, 120.
Okay, so... this is the only, realistically, this is the only way you can do it. Yes, there is obviously... I'm using a website to publish these books. Publish is not the right word. To print these books is Lulu, which is a...
I've used
it before. I think you can use it in America. Yeah. I think you can use it in Europe. Mm-hmm. And I'm shipping them to the venue. Do you know they have to pay VAT on books?
Probably.
In the Czech Republic. Yeah, we're lucky we don't pay VAT on books.
Yeah. Well, okay, but they probably do. Yeah,
they do. Yeah. Well, well, books shouldn't be luxury items. Books are essentials, man.
Well, we can burn them all, can't we?
We can burn them,
after Brexit.
So, it's on the... I'm doing it via Lulu. It costs about £10 for the pair of books, and that includes a little bit towards the postage. So it's not a giant amount of money.
But there must be like a minimum order, isn't there?
No, but the postage is better the more you order.
Yeah.
So obviously, so that's where I'm using... You've got access to the same PDF that I had access to.
Yeah.
So you can do it yourself.
Yeah.
You might have to pay a little bit for postage. The more you order, the better it will be for postage. Don't go selling them, though. Don't get yourself into that.
Don't get in trouble.
You may end up burning everybody's bridge.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is they certainly look nicer on a shelf than... Because they've got the writing on the cut on the spine, than printing them off and binding them, which is what I've been using.
And the Lulu software will guide you through most of it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You just have to separate the front cover.
Yeah.
And the back cover, which is colour.
Yeah.
From the interior, so you have to split your PDF down.
The only colour is the front and back cover. There's no colour pages.
It gets very expensive because you want colour.
Now, so if you were to do this for the Ancients books, there's a lot of colour pages in
there. I ain't doing stuff like that.
You could
do stuff like that for you.
No, I'm just.
But I'm just telling you, if it's colour, it's expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive. Yeah, and that's the big difference. So these aren't colour books.
No, and these are. Yeah, nobody's making money off these, which is how they can exist.
Yeah.
If anybody's trying to make money off these, then GW could shut it down.
Exactly. Yeah,
and they'd be right because it's their IP.
Because it's their IP, and they want to go. Yeah, they want that part of that spicy dollar.
Anybody's going to make money out of it, it has to be there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And there is no way you could do this in any other way that doesn't infringe on their IP, I believe.
Yep.
So just giving them away free at an event, that's fine.
Yep.
Do that, crack on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we got that. We got all the other things. John's shipping some stuff for me to give out.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it was a little bit in each pack.
KR are supporting it.
Good for KR. Leon at Pendraken. I'm sure it's Pendraken. Oh,
right.
Fuck. I'm terrible with names. We got some manufacturer. If it's not Pendragon, I'll correct it next time. He's shipping a little sample pack for each player. Blackgate are throwing in something. I'm not sure what. Whatever I've got lying around.
You have to ask the owner of Blackgate first.
Something from the Ogre Range guy. Giving away the demons. Yeah. And then there's the dice. There's the game tracker. There's the Slayer model.
It's nice.
So it'll be all right. Yeah. Be a nice event.
Yeah.
And everybody should get their tickets money because the venue aren't charging anything.
No.
So everything, all the ticket money's going to price for this stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Right, and then Blackgate's ticking along nicely. We're getting... Robbie's still not done the scores, but we're getting nearer. I've nearly finished...
Demon Swarm Infantry.
The infantry. See, I hadn't realised how much work the infantry would be.
But you had to do them.
No, but I was comparing it to the ogres.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now... Over the course of a couple of Kickstarters, because it wasn't even just one Kickstarter. Say, the first Kickstarter was Ogres, like the cannon men and the armoured dudes.
Core stuff.
Yeah, but there were only 9 models per unit.
Yes.
9 different models.
Yes.
And not even that for the cannons.
Yeah.
4. And only 1 copy of each miniature per unit.
Yeah.
And this one, I've kind of bitten off a little bit more. So it's 14 miniatures.
In a pack of infantry.
Yeah, and there are multiple copies of each miniature. So although you can fit more in a mould, you don't make that many more, really. And then there are a lot more fucking units.
Mm.
So instead of taking, it's taken me a couple of weeks to do, a couple of miniatures.
Yeah.
Because it's just the way, I'm having to make fucking thousands of the little bastards.
Yeah.
But that's just the way it is.
That's the way it is.
So it's just taking a bit longer than I'd hoped. But
yeah.
We're getting there. There's only 2 miniatures not whose moulds aren't either finished.
Yeah.
And I've done all the casting or in being cast.
Yeah.
So Paul's going to have his units this week.
And
then he's the only person in the world that gets access because he is who he is. So you might see some pictures
social media
around.
Influencer. I'll get them put up and I'll put them onto the old Facebook. And plus, this unit here is I found a unit of demonic Nurgles foot plague bearers.
Mm.
So then I can compare all the different gods because we're taking. I've painted my demon. Your demons is red.
Fighty demons.
So I compare all the demonic gods in a nice photo together, which would be quite cool.
Yeah, I mean, mine are loose based, so it won't have the same aesthetic as the brand
stuff.
But the main question
people have, and that's why I did that post for comedy, with Comedy Forges stuff, is people want to know how they scale compared to GW's. They want a photo of them alongside each other.
I understand
now,
that.
You can't do that as Blackgate miniatures because
no.
You can't. Neither can Comedy Forge do that as Comedy Forge. But an independent, something stopping me doing that, and that's what I did the other
day. I think that's more important if you're trying to mix stuff.
If
your army's Callistra and it's 12 mil, as long as you get everything from Callistra, it'll be fine.
Exactly. And that's the thing that I've found people want to know is that, so say with Comedy Forge's new Vampire Counts / Norse stuff, they want to see it compared to the Vampire Counts GW range because maybe they want to replace some new units in there, they're not in love with the GW X for that and they want to do the Comedy Forge
X. That's when it gets a little bit harder.
What people want to know. And so give them the fight. Give them what they're asking for. Mm-hmm. Perfect example here is Comedy Forge's direwolves, let's call them that, compared to GW's direwolves. The direwolves in Comedy Forge are quite a lot bigger, models, but the I think that they will look a lot better.
Well, they're the size of they're the size of my demon hands.
Roughly the same size.
A lot bigger than Chaos Hands.
Yeah, while other things like the zombies to zombies, the same scale. And then it's down to which sculpts do you prefer if you were comparing the two.
Well, it's not just that straightforward, is it? Because good luck getting zombies, for example.
If it's a case of one you can't buy and one you can buy, then that's no choice at all.
There is no choice at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so next episode, I'm just going to round off now.
Yep.
Next episode, we'll be talking about a little bit of Bruno build up and then we'll do a Norse. Because we've been requested to do
a Norse review with Revolution
for the army list
because there's now a Norse range like Avengers.
Mm. I mean, yeah, we can probably do it. I did it in some flippant
answer. It's not going to be hard.
It's just ram 8 units of Huskarls in, if that was the limit we put on them.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
So, and then your characters and your mandatories, and then nothing there ain't going to be much less.
Yeah, like, once you've got the 8 Huskarls and the mandatory and the core, it's like, doesn't really matter.
We'll have a look what's left.
But we can spin that out to an episode.
We'll do that next episode. All right, so this was the Warmaster Podcast, episode 133 with Paul and Barry. If you want to get in touch with us, you can get us through the Warmaster Podcast Facebook page or at warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com.
Thanks very much for listening.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
Would you like to know more?